I will call the meeting to order of the Connecticut Student Loan Foundation. Let's see. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded. The recording will be posted on the authority's website. Because there's no public comment on today's agenda, members of the public will not be permitted to speak during the meeting with the exception of the authority's consultants and professionals. And in accordance with Governor Lamont's executive order regarding public meetings held via teleconference, board members, consultants, and professionals are asked to state their name and title before speaking. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. In the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive an email or text message advising whether number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that, let me get my list of attendees and we can get started. Just bear with me. Let's see, here we are. Okay, when I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are on the call. My name's Peter Lisi. Obviously, I'm here. Ben Barnes, who I'm not expecting, is Ben on the call? No. Marty Budd?
Here.
Andrew Foster?
Present.
Daryl Hill?
Present.
Michael Azzati? Not expecting. Is Michael here? No. Julie Savino?
Present.
Laura Baker?
Present.
Thank you. And Jeanette Weldon?
Present.
Thank you. Staff, Rebecca Ablett?
Here.
Thank you. Denise Aguilera? Is Denise with us?
Here.
Thank you. Kevin Berry?
Present.
Josh Herlock?
I'm here.
Carly Levin?
Present.
Joanne Makowitz?
Present.
Thank you. Cynthia Peoples?
I'm here, thank you.
Thank you. Kara Stewart?
I'm here.
And Yesenia Torres Rivera?
I'm here.
Thank you. I'm going to call out a couple companies' names. If you are here representing your firm, please state your name. Goal Structured Solutions?
Dustin Schwartz.
Anyone else?
Rachel Infin.
Thank you.
Andrea Bank. Lennox.
I'm sorry, what was the last one? Andrea Lennox?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Anyone else? Bank of America?
Santorum.
All right. Hilltop Securities. Anyone from Hilltop? No?
Pullman. For the record, Conley. This is Tim Webb.
All right, thank you, Tim. Pullman and Conley?
Judith Blank and Sandy Dawson.
Thank you. RBC Capital Markets. Anyone from RBC?
Roger Podell, Jeff Wagner, Tyler Waltz, and Brian Karius.
Thank you. And U.S. Bank?
Bill Kutkowski.
Anyone else?
No.
Okay. Right. Thank you. All right. Let me get the agenda in front of me. Let's see. Just bear with me. Okay.
You want to go to the market list? Pick up what you want.
All right, we've done the roll call, call to order. First item are the minutes from April 19th. Hopefully people have taken a look at them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented from April 19th?
So moved.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Make it out. People are challenged.
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. The motion has been made and seconded to accept the minutes from April 19th as presented. Any comments, discussion, Corrections or edits? Hearing none, all those in favor accepting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion carries unanimously. Jeanette, Executive Director's Report. Jeanette?
Yes, I have nothing to add at this time for the Executive Director's Report.
Okay, thank you. Let's go into the loan loss reserve analysis. Mr. Schwartz.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. So again, for the record, Justin Schwartz, Senior Accountant at Goal Solutions. So every year we perform a loan loss reserve analysis. For the analysis, we use the same methodology that we have in prior years. And again, this is on page 8. Where we look at the federal and private portfolios separately and apply assumptions to come up with a remaining lifetime loss projection for each portfolio. And based on the results of the analysis, we recommend changes to the reserve. This year, we are recommending an increase in the loan loss reserve of $19,000 on the federal loan portfolio and $73,000 on the private loan portfolio. So that really is the end result of the analysis. The full memo with additional detail is here in pages 8 and 9. So I would just pause there and ask if there are any questions I can address related to the analysis, or if we would like to vote on adopting the recommendations.
Any questions?
In your memo, you say you applied for a funds for $3.7 million and you received $3.9 million in claim payments. And that seemed to me to be unusual, unless it's a typo.
Sorry, and where are you looking at this one?
This is in your memo on the federal loans in the third paragraph. During the first 9 months of 21-22, CSLF filed claims totaling $3.7 million and received $3.9 million in claim payments.
Correct. So on the federal portfolio, those are the loans are guaranteed by 4 separate agencies. And so the amount of the guarantee sort of depends on the type of loan when the loan was originated. But historically, CSLF recovers 98% of the claims that are filed on the federal portfolio, which of course is the majority of the total portfolio.
But you received more than you claimed.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I read that wrong?
Should be reversed.
Yes, I apologize, that must be a typo.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, yes, I read that backwards, I do apologize.
Any other questions? Good catch, Marty. Anyone? So there's a motion in the meeting packet.
I'll move the increase.
I'll
move the increase in the loan loss reserve as presented.
All right. Motion has been made. Is there a second?
This is Julie. I'll second.
Thank you, Julie. So there's a motion has been made to increase the loan loss reserve. The motion itself is in your meeting packet under agenda item 4. Are there any comments, questions, or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation on increasing the loan loss reserve, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Motion carries. Justin, you can walk us through the budget proposal.
Sure. So next up is the budget, and we'll start with the memo on page 15. So the primary drivers of the budget are the pay down of the loan portfolio and the redemption of the bonds. Our basic approach with the budget is to review recent trends and performance of the portfolio and carry those forward. We kept with that sort of convention with one exception this year. So the change in methodology we have this year that we'd like to point out is for the bond interest rate assumption used in the fiscal year 23 budget projection. So for that bond interest rate assumption, we pulled the Bloomberg estimated 91-day T-bill rate for the next 12 months and applied a 1.2% spread to calculate the projected max rate per the deal documents. We really made this change due to the current market environment where we have seen multiple recent rate hikes and sort of a general posturing that there may be more to come. So this change in approach results in a more conservative forecast than carrying forward recent trends. And as we move through the budget, I will highlight for you where this really shows up. So with that in mind, we'll take a look at the balance sheet on page 16. And just to get a general sense of the columns, the first column you see there is June of 22, which is where we expect to be right now. June of 23 is the second column. It is the proposed budget year. The third column is the June of 22 current budget year. Next, there are two variance columns. The first compares June of 22 to the proposed June 23 budget. And the second compares June of 22 to the current budget. So that far right column is really a measure of how the budget performed. The primary lines here to focus on are the loan and bond balances, the loans being in rows 11 through 14, and the bonds on row 28. So looking at row 14, to the far right, this is the total loans receivable. On the far right of that row 14, the loan portfolio will end the current year about $2.8 million higher than the budget had forecast, which means the loan pay downs occurred quicker than the budget anticipated, and largely due to many loans coming out of deferment and forbearance over the past year. Next, drawing your attention to row 28, the bonds payable balance came in right on budget at $102 million. And the June of 23 budget is forecasting bond pay downs of $15.7 million in the coming budget year, which would result in a June of 23 bond balance of $86 million. This projected $15.7 million in bond pay downs is one of the line items where we really see the impact of the change in methodology I described regarding the bond interest rate. So under the previous methodology, the bond pay down forecast would have been higher by approximately $2 million. And I will point out to you where else that $2 million shows up as we move on through the income statement. So those are the key pieces of the balance sheet I wanted to highlight for you. And next, we'll take a quick look at the income statement on page 17, and then we can go into any questions. So the first item to note here is interest income received on row 3. The current year is coming in at $4.5 million, slightly above budget, and the fiscal year 23 budget is projecting $3.7 million, which of course is a year-over-year decline of $760,000, which is typical and due to just the loans paying down over time. Next, looking at bond interest expense on row 13, interest expense exceeded the current budget by $460,000, and we're projecting a year-over-year increase of $2.2 million in bond interest expense due to rising rates. So this, again, is one area where our change in methodology regarding the bond interest rate shows up again. Moving down to row 29, net change in position before extraordinary items. The current year is coming in at $924,000, which is $188,000 below the current year budget. The proposed fiscal year 23 budget projects a negative change in net position of $1.8 million. Again, heavily influenced by the increase in the budgeted bond interest expense. Extraordinary items on rows 33 and 34 in the current year are the 500,000 scholarship program release and the 2 million refi program release. The only extraordinary item we are including in the 2023 budget projection is the $500,000 scholarship program. And so that really concludes my prepared comments. We are seeking approval of the budget. Are there any questions I can address?
Any questions for Justin? All right. Well, thank you, Justin. Very thorough. So in your meeting packet, there is a motion for agenda item 5. Would someone like to move the board approving the 2022-23 budget as presented? I'm happy to move it. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. So we've heard the presentation. The motion's been made and seconded. Are there any further questions or comments? Discussion on the budget? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the budget as presented, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Appreciate it. Thank you, Justin. Okay, next item is the financial report. Here we go.
Kevin Berry here with CSLF Accountant. If I could start on page 22, the statement of net position.
Okay.
I'd first like to start by saying there's a new line on the income ledger, interest income agency. In March, we transferred $750,000 of unrestricted operating funds into a stiff account. Where it's been bearing interest. Other than that, operating revenues were at $3.4 million as compared to $3.8 million in the prior year through the period of March 31st. And it was budgeted at $3.4 million. As always, all revenues are generated from student loan interest.
Okay.
Operating expenses are at $2.3 million compared to last year at $2.7. This is on par with the $2.3, which was forecasted in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Decrease in operating expenses are due to the pay down of bond principal, resulting in decreased bond interest, as well as a decrease in servicing fee expenses, including consolidation fees.
Okay.
The change in net position through March 2022, prior to the transfers for Tesla's refi pilot funding, is at $1.1 million compared to the prior period of $1.1 million, resulting in no change. Any questions on the P&L?
I have none. Any questions? All right.
Okay. I'd like the balance sheet at page 20. Year over year, the balance sheet has decreased from $152 million in total assets to $132 million. This reflects the payments received from students on their outstanding loans. In turn, the available funds were used to redeem $20.5 million in bonds, reducing trust liabilities from $128 million to $107 million, leaving the net position restricted by the indenture at $3 million compared to $3.6 million, a decrease of $600,000 compared to last year. And this can be attributed to the transfer for the $1 million to Chesla for the refi program pilot funding. And this leaves Chesla or CSLF at a net position of $24.3 million compared to $24.2 million in the prior year. I'd like to open it up for any questions on the balance sheet.
Anyone? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Justin, do you think you're going to do the bond redemption activity?
Yes. So starting on page 26 of the board package. So during the quarter, a total of 2.6 million of bonds were redeemed versus last quarter's total of 5.7 million. The breakdown being 1.8 million in redemptions for the 2006 A-1 tranche and 800,000 for the 2006 A-2 tranche. So this quarter's activity resulted in total bond outstanding balance of 109.2 million, representing a 2.4% decline from last quarter. On page 27, looking at the loan portfolio characteristics, the weighted average coupon was virtually unchanged, increasing one basis point from 6.37 to 6.38, while the weighted average remaining term increased from 177.34 months to 181.87 months. With respect to the loans that are in forbearance, both the FFELL and private loan portfolio performance improved, with FFELL forbearances decreasing from 16.63% to 9.78%, and the private loan forbearances increasing from 0.84% to 0.78% in forbearance. Those are really the only comments I had prepared. Are there any questions regarding the bond redemption activity?
Any questions for Justin? Anything? Okay, thank you very much, Justin. All right. So I believe that that concludes the stated or the published agenda. Are there any other items anyone would like to bring before the board? Any other business? Anything for the good of the cause? The good of the order? Anyone? Thank you. Then I would certainly entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. And I'll second that. Any discussion or comments or objections? In that case, all those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 All right.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you all very much. I notice our next meeting isn't until September, so I will say have a great summer to everyone.